Welcome into the Locked On Knicks podcast. Gavin Shaw, Alex Wolf, and we are continuing our player preview series today with the Knicks' first pick in last year's draft. It surprisingly came at 25, and I was initially disappointed, but I warmed up just as his shooting warmed up throughout Summer League. It is Quentin Grimes out of the University of Houston. Alex, what are we going to talk about with him?
Well, like we have with a number of players during these player previews, we're going to talk about how he's going to find playing time, if at all. We're going to talk about if he's good enough to be playing NBA minutes right now, sort of try to figure out what the plan is going to be with Grimes going forward this season and beyond, and talk about maybe if there's a little bit of a parallel between he and Obi Toppin as far as the situations that they're in and the situations that they're walking into and presumably will be in over the next few years. So lots of interesting things to talk about when we get into our Quentin Grimes preview next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Starts without a five. Ewing for the win. Yes.
Thompson cuts left. Now fires a three.
And he's good. And he's fouled. It counts. And he makes it out.
Anthony for three.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, and I wanted to thank you for making Locked On Knicks your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms you might not have heard, soon to include YouTube. I believe you can already go and subscribe to the channel at Locked On Knicks on there, and we will have videos for you if nothing goes horribly wrong as soon as next week. So that is really, really exciting. You'll get to see our beautiful faces. You'll get to see Alex doing some amazing drawings, maybe some weird drawings at point. I don't know. It could go a lot of different directions. Anyways, but you want to know who we are. I'm Gavin Shaw, a play-by-play broadcaster for all you Long Island football fans. I have the best team on the island, Garden City, this weekend. So please check that out, Varsity Media, on Saturday afternoon. He is Alex Wolf, editor-in-chief of the greatest Knicks website on the internet and off the internet. It's called The Strickland, and he is now a writer for Clutch Points, and my Twitter feed was letting me know he had a couple of great articles come out the last few days previewing the Knicks season and on the Knicks' first preseason game, so be sure to check that out. Anyways, today we are getting into the man, the myth, the legend. It is Quentin Grimes, the 25th pick in this year's NBA draft. Alex, a disappointing start to his college career at the University of Kansas, where he was a five-star combo guard, was expected to be the next big thing, leave after 1 year, be a top 10 pick, yada, yada, yada. It did not work out that way. He was kind of disappointing there. Transferred to play for Kevin Sumlin? No, that was their football coach. Kelvin Sampson at the University of Houston. It is too late to be recording this. And he had a spectacular career leading the Cougars all the way to the Final Four before they fell to Davion Mitchell and Baylor this past season, where he averaged 17.8 points, 5.7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.4 steals per night, shooting just under 41% from the field, 40% from three on ridiculously high volume. That was his calling card, and just under 79% from the foul line. Alex, as you nicely compiled these stats for us, you pointed out to me that his summer league stats were essentially the same: 15 points per game, 6 boards, 3 assists, half a steal, 41.5% from the field, 41% from three, right around 67% from the foul line. It wasn't always looking great in summer league, but as things went along, he got better and better and better and more confident. And by the end of it, we all had a pretty clear picture why the Knicks were willing to trade back in the draft twice and take him at 25.
Yeah. And, you know, I think in the, you know, in that summer league performance, we saw him sort of adjust. And, you know, I can remember all these discussions, pardon me, that we were having, you know, during summer league and immediately after when we were kind of reviewing the performances of, you know, how Grimes has sort of a release that looks like it would take a little bit of extra oomph, you know, to learn how to shoot it from NBA range. And we didn't really get to see him in the first preseason game, if at all. Actually, did he check in at all? Maybe for the last like minute? Not enough to really see what was going on there. And so it actually kind of works out in terms of this preview, because, you know, now we can still talk as if we haven't really seen him play in the NBA yet. But, you know, during summer league, it took him all of like 2 games for him to sort of correct his range and get to the point where he felt comfortable shooting it from the NBA 3-point line versus the college 3-point line. And, you know, in general, like, I do think that there's a certain level of NBA readiness to him, which we'll talk about in a minute as far as if he's ready to play right now. But there's also, you know, some things that you maybe worry about, like, does he have enough advanced skills to step on an NBA floor right now? Is the ball handling good enough? Is the, you know, the passing good enough? The defense, I think we could probably say, is definitely good enough. And the shooting, TBD, we'll see if that hot streak from the end of summer league carries over. And, you know, it shows to be more of what the norm is going to be with him. But Gavin, I'll throw it to you first. Like, you had asked this question, and, you know, we even had a little bit of an interesting debate about this with, well, I think first with the Kevin Knox show, and then even with the Obi Toppin show when we were previewing Obi about, you know, the backup 3 minutes. If one of Burks or RJ goes down, who's going to step in? You know, and are the Knicks a little thin at that position? I've been kind of the mind that no, they're not, because of Grimes there. But then also, I do think at some point they're going to try Obi at the three based off how they've been using him overall. But what do you think about that? Like, do you think that if RJ and or Burks goes down, do you think that Grimes is pretty much ready to step in right now?
It depends on what standard you're looking for. I think he would be, even as a bench guy, a well below average NBA player at this point, because I don't see him being dynamic enough off the dribble to really do much more than space the floor offensively. And defensively, even guys who are billed as really strong defenders coming out of the draft typically have their struggles, whether it's off the ball, whether it's against certain types of scorers. You have to be just one of those like rare combination of either like genius level IQ guys like a Draymond Green walking to the NBA after a couple of years at Michigan State, or you have to be just like an elite next tier athlete. Like, I mean, guys in last year's draft who fit these descriptors were Isaac Okoro, very, very smart. Again, insane strength, length, lateral quickness, or someone like Devin Vassell, who just came in as a genius. I don't think Grimes falls into either of those categories. I think he's elements of both. And I think he has a chance to be a well above average defender down the road. But I think he would struggle on that end initially. Do I think he could come out and shoot like 36-37% from three on decent volume? Yeah, I think that is very much within range. I think the Knicks would find ways to get him involved going off of screens. And the good news, if you're New York, you're not extremely shallow at that spot, right? If RJ goes down, Burks will presumably start. If Burks goes down, then Grimes will be playing, like, I don't know, 18 minutes per game. Like, it's not going to make or break the Knicks season if that happens, but I'm fascinated to see, because I don't know about you, Alex. I don't have a ton of faith in him coming out. And like people talked about him as like the potential Reggie Bullock replacement. Like it took Reggie Bullock a while to become Reggie Bullock. Like there's a lot of savvy there that a rookie just isn't going to have. And I just don't know if he has elite athletic traits to make up for that.
Yeah, I don't know if he does either. I do think that he has elite enough athleticism in terms of his defense to do that immediately at a good level at the NBA. The big thing is mostly the ball handling. And like, is he, if you put him out there, is he basically going to be like an inconsistent version of Reggie Bullock? You know what I mean? Like that's kind of what I feel like he would be like if you gave him consistent minutes right now, this second, as a rookie. Because I just think that I think the defense is going to be there no matter what. Like, he and Deuce both can play NBA defense today if you put them on the floor. Obviously, we saw with Jericho Sims, you know, he's a different story. He's not ready. And that's why he went to the 58th pick of the draft. But I think Deuce and Grimes are both ready to play NBA level defense if you put them out there. I mean, even in summer league, for 5 days of practice between two of them or whatever, they had just fantastic communication between them. They were making really great reads on defense, and I think that'll translate immediately to the NBA. But as far as on offense, he won't have that shooting consistency. I mean, part of what made Reggie Bullock was the fact that he shot 40% roughly from three on volume, and, you know, was probably, I mean, it's high praise. It's a big crown to wear. But okay, I'll just say one of the most consistent shooters on the Knicks last year. One of those guys that pretty much every time that he shot the ball, you thought, okay, yeah, that's going in, before he even let it go from his hand, because he just was a great open shot shooter which is what Grimes would be able to get a lot of, because he probably wouldn't garner a ton of attention despite being a 3-point threat on the scouting report until he started making them more consistently. And I feel like even on wide open triples, you know, Grimes will probably shoot 35% or so this year over the course of a whole season as he gets used to the wear and tear and the grind of an NBA season. So, you know, I think it's just like, it'll be a wait and see thing with him. And just see what, like, if he gets some playing time, how does he do with it? How real does the shot look from day one? And I don't think it's going to look particularly great. And so I don't think he's going to get a ton of playing time in the NBA this year. Hopefully they give him some chances to go to the G League and get some reps that way. And I do kind of think that that's more where his destiny lies this year, more so than anything else, is to go to the G League and give that a shot for a bit. But I think we're not gonna sweat what's happening with Quentin Grimes if he does go to the G League, and he shouldn't sweat it either. But if he does sweat it, he should get sweat block. And this is the point where I tell you that I'm a sweaty, sweaty man, and sweat block has changed my life. That still hasn't changed in all the times that I've done this read. Maybe it could change Quentin Grimes' life too, if he's sweating anything in life right now, either literally or metaphorically. But Sweatblock is fantastic. It is doctor-created, doctor-recommended, easy-to-use wipe that you just dab on your underarms before bed, and then in the morning, wash off and go about your day, or I should say go about your week, because it is rated to work for up to 7 days per use, and comes with a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock does not keep you dry, you get your money back. It's also been the bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years with over 13,000 reviews, and is currently number one in Amazon's antiperspirant category. So wear what you want to wear and have this be your little secret to confidence. You can get Sweatblock and, you know, not have to worry about all those problems with your pits like myself or many others have, or perhaps you have as well. So if you want to get some for yourself, go to sweatblock.com and use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off, or head to Amazon or CVS. All right, and we're back continuing our discussion on Quentin Grimes, the Knicks' first rookie selected in the draft this year. And we just want to thank you guys again for making us your first listen. You know, we're always here for you guys 5 days a week in season during the NBA season, and we appreciate you always listening to us. If you want something cool to listen to as your second listen, be sure to check out our national shows, Locked On NBA or Locked On Fantasy Basketball, which I understand is flying up the charts right now, national charts and otherwise, because everybody loves Josh Lloyd and that Australian fantasy basketball analysis. Apologies to anyone from Australia that I just offended with that accent. Gavin, I'm going to throw it to you because you had this interesting comparison that you brought up while we were taking notes for this episode. And I think it's kind of poignant. So the floor is yours. What is your interesting comparison of situations with Quentin Grimes here?
Wow, way to gas me up, Alex. I think this is a good analogy, and maybe one that's a little under talked about with Grimes. And honestly, we could have had this conversation about Deuce McBride, but it's sort of the price of trying to be in two worlds at once as an NBA franchise, trying to compete now and develop younger talent. In some ways, that is where every team in the league strives to be, right? That is the dream. We are winning now, we are winning big, and we're ensuring that it's going to be sustainable and that we're going to win in the future. But often, those types of situations breed conflict. When is the time to trade the older but still more effective star for the younger but unproven potential talent that could make us even better down the road, but won't make us great right now? I think the Warriors are the ultimate example of an NBA team that is currently going through that with their young core of James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, trying to integrate themselves with Steph, Clay, and Draymond. The Knicks have a slightly lower stakes version of it, but still crucial with guys like Obi Toppin, with guys like Emmanuel Quickley, with guys like Miles McBride, and no doubt with someone like Quentin Grimes. He's doesn't really have a path to playing time the next two seasons. Like, he's never going to be the starter over RJ Barrett. He's never going to be the starter over Evan Fournier. And honestly, I think for the next 2 years, I don't really see Tom Thibodeau playing him over Alec Burks, because Tibbs really values shot creation, and that's why Burks is still on this team. And Burks does that for a bench player at a very high level. And Grimes, I think that'll come, but I think it'll most likely be a couple years down the road. So unless he is better than we think he is, and clearly the Knicks, the way they handled this draft, they expect him to be, I would say, an elite role player. Because you don't trade 19 and 20 and pass up on high upside guys like Keon Johnson if you don't think you're getting someone that will contribute in some significant way relatively early in their career. So I guess in that sense, I'm a little confused on what the plan is. Is he the breaking case of emergency guy if Burks or RJ gets hurt? Is he the insurance piece if you are trading RJ Barrett for a Damian Lillard type player? Is he the insurance piece if you're trading Alec Burks for either an extra pick or a role player at a different position? I don't know, but I'm curious to see, just like I am with Obi, just like I am with Deuce and IQ, how that conflict plays out, because right now this first round pick doesn't look like he's going to play more than a couple minutes a night for his first 2 years in the league.
Yeah, it is an interesting comparison. And first off, I'm just curious, because you brought up the Warriors. Do you think that there's like almost any chance that Kuminga and Moody end the season with them? I just feel like they're going to play pretty well. Like the Warriors, I mean, as a whole. And I feel like those dudes are going to be shipped out at some point. Someone big is going to go to Golden State, is my theory for this year.
I think there is a chance, just because all the reporting there from, not that I'm a part of that, but from what I've read, has been that the front office and the ownership really wants to have a sustainability to what they're doing, even more so than they want to pour all their resources into getting Steph and Klay and Draymond one final championship. But again, if we get to a point where that Ben Simmons trade is on the table, I know Joe Lacob had his comments about Ben Simmons, but if that becomes a realistic possibility for them, then I don't see how you can't put some of those guys out there, because even if Simmons has a lot of overlap with Draymond Green, that's like too much talent in your four best players to completely put off the table having those guys together and trying to go win a chip.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've got a really good package for that too. But anyway, to get back to the matter at hand here. Actually, I think they could probably outbid anybody if they just included one of Moody or Kuminga, which is kind of crazy, because I think that Simmons's trade value is so low at this point. Like the Knicks could probably go after Simmons if they wanted to. Not that I think they will. I actually wrote about that last week, just like as a what if sort of scenario in the spirit of the Marvel show that just finished up today.
And near Simmons for Ben Simmons, who says no?
Yeah. Did you say Deuce for Ben Simmons?
I said Amir Sims.
Oh, Amir Sims. I thought you said Deuce for. We were talking at the same time.
Yeah, you were going to pause and be like, "Well, I don't know if I would do that, Gavin."
I was going to say that if it was Deuce, I'm not 100% certain. At any rate, to talk about your Obi comparison here, I think it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. I mean, it is kind of it's a tough spot that the Knicks have themselves in with Grimes, with Deuce, I think too, also with Obi, even with Quickly, like really that's their, other than RJ, who is still almost the youngest player on the team and obviously has a role for himself and is going to be a starter that's going to play 30 something minutes a game. The rest of the young core, it's pretty rough. I mean, even Mitchell Robinson's future is sort of in doubt, where it's, for one thing, like, are they going to extend him? Are they going to let him hit free agency next year? You know, is he going to want to stay with the team, whatever? But even beyond it, you know, with him too, there's the question of, oh, well, you know, is Nerlens Noel going to get the start because he earned Tibbs' trust last year and this, that, the other? And it's like, I don't know. But in Mitch's case, at least, you know, I think there's a much stronger case just from a pure talent perspective that he should just be the starter. In terms of Quickly, Grimes, Obi, and Deuce, it's like they're legitimately much better players in front of them. And so it's really hard to justify, you know, giving them the minutes that they need to develop. And I guess, you know, it kind of comes back to something I said a minute ago, which is I just hope that the Knicks aren't afraid to utilize the G League this year. And, you know, I think Obi is advanced beyond that point, and so is Quickly. You know, those guys are second year players that already established themselves as rookies pretty well and have thus far looked really good, you know, in summer league and preseason this year. I think that you got to trust them to, you know, play in the NBA. And even if it's only, you know, 15 minutes a game or so, I think both those guys should be able to find that amount of playing time based off, you know, even it, even when we did our minutes projections and stuff, we still were able to find like 15 minutes for Quickley and, you know, 14, 15 minutes for Toppin, you know, if they try to keep Randall's minutes down a little bit. But hopefully, you know, the Knicks just aren't afraid to utilize the G League this year as far as it comes to McBride and Grimes. And my thought for that would maybe be, you know, I think the sensible way to do it would be you always bring them on the road with you in case, you know, God forbid you're on a road trip and you get an injury. And, you know, like, let's say that RJ sprains his ankle or something, and maybe he's not even going to be out the whole road trip, but, you know, for two games on the West Coast swing in January or whatever, you know, RJ twists his ankle and has to be out a couple games. You want to have Grimes there to be able to step in if need be. But I think it would do them well if on their homestands, they would send these guys to Westchester and let them play whatever games Westchester has scheduled during that same stretch. And sometimes it even works out, you know, where because it's the Knicks, as much as people give them heat for having their practice facility in Westchester, it's actually really nice that their G League affiliate is there, because there are going to be some times too where you won't even have to remove them from the New York Knicks ecosystem, where you can have them play their G League game. And as long as it doesn't directly coincide with a Knicks game, they can still be there the next day to, you know, be available for a Knicks game if need be. It would just be like playing a back-to-back for them, except for, you know, best case scenario on this back-to-back, they'll play 5 or 10 garbage minutes or something. So I think that's going to be the best path to getting these guys the reps that they need. And, you know, using the G League actually as the developmental system that it's meant to be, and not treating it like this thing that like stigmas have often treated it as, which is like an unpleasant demotion of a thing that people should be ashamed of or something. But we can continue that discussion in just a second. But speaking of unpleasant things, regular protein bars are quite unpleasant to eat. I find them to generally be chalky and gross and dry, and like there's not enough chocolate on them, and they just all in all don't taste good. And that's where Built Bars come in. They're my favorite protein bars by a long stretch. They look and taste just like a candy bar. They're coated in chocolate with a nice chewy center on the inside. And some of my favorite flavors, which you've probably heard me spout off about before, are coconut and cookies and cream, because they remind me so much of my favorite candy bars, like a Mounds bar or a cookies and cream Hershey's bar. I mean, I get those same sort of feelings of euphoria when eating a Built Bar, but without all the guilt. That's because Built Bars have 17 to 18 grams of protein, only 130 to 180 calories, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They're so tasty, and yet they taste like they're, you know, or they taste amazing like a candy bar, but they don't carry all of that guilty fat and sugar that a candy bar carries. There we go. I got through my point. So if you want to get some Built Bars for yourself, go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
And we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And with that, we are back on Locked On Knicks. And thank you one final time for making us your first listen today. All right, Alex, let's wrap up this conversation on Quentin Grimes, talking about his actual skill set, and then maybe wrapping up on a little bit of like what he has to do to prove that this was the right decision by the Knicks to pass up on some higher upside options. But first, his skill set. I want to throw this one at you. I know I kind of hinted what I thought earlier in the show, but what do you think ultimately translates to an NBA level faster, his shooting or his defense or maybe some other parts of his game? Because he showed in summer league to be, at least by my expectations, a better passer than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think I made it pretty clear earlier in the show, but I think his defense is going to translate the best. I mean, I just think he's extremely fundamentally sound on that end. It was clear from Summer League, based off how advanced the Knicks were playing defense in such a short amount of time, and, you know, how well he communicated with his teammates, particularly Deuce McBride, on that end, that I think he's tailor-made to come into the NBA and defend right away. And, you know, if the Knicks need to use him at some point this year, you know, they've dealt with having a minus on the floor on the offensive end before, which, you know, I feel bad for invoking the name again, but, you know, they've dealt with Elfrid Payton being on the floor that, you know, couldn't shoot the ball and, you know, was not a threat from pretty much anywhere on offense. So even in the worst case scenario where Grimes, you know, can't really shoot well, you know, he's only, let's say that he comes out this year and he only shoots 32% or something, you know, on the low end, which would not even be the end of the world. I think that's roughly what RJ shot as a rookie. So we all saw how that worked out, you know, going into his second year. RJ might have even shot slightly better than that. But either way, you know, it's pretty normal for a rookie to not find the range right away from three. So, you know, maybe he comes out and he's not exactly a minus, but he's not a positive on offense. I think that Tibbs and the whole Knicks team, you know, his teammates and everybody involved, gun to their head, would probably tell you that they already believe that Grimes can go out there and play defense and do it in NBA level, keep up with the reads and keep up with his matchup, no matter who he's matched up with, you know, probably, you know, two to three for sure. And credibly could probably guard ones and can maybe in spots guard fours, depending on how big the guy is. Cause Grimes is built pretty big as well. He's not quite as big as like an RJ, but you know, he's built pretty good for a 2-3 combo. So, you know, I think that that's going to translate the best. I think that it was obvious through Summer League that even when his shot wasn't falling in Summer League, he was still playing stellar defense, and he's not of the Kevin Knox mentality of player where, and that's not to crap on Kevin Knox, but it is the truth about his game, where if the shot's not falling, everything else suffers. He's not of that ilk. You know, he can put that aside and not let missing shots affect him. And affect how he approaches the game and what he does on the defensive end. So that's the one thing that I think is going to translate the easiest right from day one. The second he gets his first real NBA minutes, he'll be playing good defense out there. But what do you think?
Yeah, I also think I kind of got it. Maybe I overlapped these questions a little too much. But yeah, his shooting for sure. But anyways, to go to our final question, we were.
Oh wait, you think he's shooting?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I think maybe I'm off on this, but in my mind, it's just a far more isolated skill, right? Obviously the line is further out, but if you can shoot, you can shoot. You have to go over like taller defenders, better defenders, yada, yada, yada. But if you can shoot, you can shoot. Defending is so different at the NBA level than it is at the college level, and so much more complicated that I just think in general, it's a more difficult skill to translate. And so that is mostly my rationale. And the fact that, I mean, from what I saw from Summer League, again, I thought he was solid. He didn't blow my mind defensively.
You know what I think my devil's advocate argument with the shooting would be?
Yeah.
Is I feel like that's a skill that even if you're a really good shooter, and we even saw this with like Quickly last year, for example, and pretty much any rookie that I can ever remember, at least on the Knicks, that has ever been relatively good at shooting. The big thing to me is that the rookie wall hits shooting the hardest. And I think it's usually around that. I feel like I've been talking about this for like ever since we started this show, but you know, it makes sense because our first year was Kevin Knox and he hit this really hard. When first year players hit that 30 to 35 game mark, I think there's always a huge dip their rookie year, at least in all the rookies that I've watched in recent years. There's almost always, as long as those guys have played those whole first like 35 games or whatever, there's almost always a dip where they hit a huge slump because their bodies just don't quite know how to react to playing that much basketball all the time. Because in college, the games are more spaced out. They, you know, only play 35-ish games, you know, tournament included. If they win the whole thing, it's somewhere around there, maybe slightly more than that. But, you know, all the games are always spaced out more. They get more recovery time and they're playing less games overall, Whereas in the NBA, you know, they hit that 30 game mark. Like your young spryness carries you to a certain point to be able to be like, okay, you know, I can keep up with this new schedule where I'm sometimes playing back to backs and playing, you know, 3 games in 4 days and whatever. But then all of a sudden it like really hits you right around that 30 game mark where they just lose that steam. And then you have to kind of wait for that rookie second win to come around, usually in the last like 20 or so games of the season, I feel like. So it's not a universal rule, but I feel like he'll run into that regardless of how good he is shooting this year. If he gets any measure of playing time, I guess would be the caveat there. But then if he doesn't get enough playing time, then I worry that he's not going to be in rhythm enough. So I do kind of feel like his, at the NBA level, his shooting percentages might be a little iffy this year.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess I was, and maybe this is cheating, was talking about that beautiful sweet spot in the middle where he maybe plays like 20 minutes a game for 15 to 20 games this year when guys are hurt, and maybe that allows him to get in rhythm but not be overwhelmed. But it's a fair argument, and I guess we'll see how it goes. But anyways, final question on Quentin Grimes to wrap this one up. Obviously on draft night, if I'm allowed to speak for you, Alex, because I know I remember you were away for that, so I guess I didn't get your take in the moment, but I think we were both fairly disappointed with at least how the first round turned out for the Knicks, where obviously they traded out of 19, I believe, and then traded back at 20, or might have been vice versa. But regardless, did not make a pick at 19 or 20, ended up with just the 25th pick in the first round, and then took a guy that was widely expected, and maybe, again, the Knicks presumably, I didn't tell that this wasn't true, but was widely expected to be more of an early second round pick, though someone who allegedly blew away the Knicks in workouts and really stood out at the NBA Combine. What does he have to do, not just this season, but over, let's just say, his first couple of years in the league to justify the Knicks making that pick? And obviously it's easy to say, well, it won't be better than anyone taken behind him. But that's, I never think that is a fair comparison point. I usually think the standard is more so like he has to be one of the best players taken after 20 or after, I mean, or even you could say after 25.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a tricky question, right? Because when we were talking before the show, and maybe I mentioned this during the show, actually, I forget. It all blends together. But, you know, I think that he might redshirt sort of over the next like 2 years. Like, I almost wonder if there is a part of the Knicks strategy that's essentially, you know, we just signed Alec Burks for 2 more years for, I would say probably you assume that this is going to be the rest of Alec Burks's prime, because it's going to take him, I think, past age 30 at that point. And, you know, so this might be like his last big-ish contract that he ever gets. Not that Alec Burks has ever been like a guy to get huge contracts, but, you know, you sign him for 2 years. I wonder if maybe their plan is sort of to bring Grimes along really slowly. So I feel like we're not going to be able to draw conclusions on him for at least until like next year. Maybe that's the point where he starts cracking the rotation a little more and they start trusting him to do things a little more. But, you know, as you said at one point too, you know, with the comparison to Bullock, you know, it took Reggie Bullock a while to become Reggie Bullock as well. And these things don't always happen overnight, especially for a player like Grimes, who, you know, you noted in the show too, was a really highly touted recruit and initially went to college to Kansas and kind of underwhelmed and, you know, then sort of rediscovered himself in Houston and developed a couple more years, and then now comes to the Knicks looking to establish himself in the NBA. You know, that there might be that same learning curve like what he experienced in college, where maybe things don't feel like a perfect fit right away, and then he kind of adjusts himself. And my early impressions of him are just that he's not the type that gets by purely on natural ability, or at least he's not anymore, not after sort of being humbled by the college experience. He seems like a type that gets by on being perfect at things. And so it might take him a while to find that sort of perfect level where he can, you know, make shots at an NBA level consistently, where he can handle the ball consistently at an NBA level, which we saw in that first preseason game. Now, a very important skill to have on this Knicks team that's, you know, suddenly has 4 of the 5 players in the starting lineup that can handle the ball credibly and, you know, create for themselves and others. So maybe they're looking for that, you know. To your point, yeah, I think his defense is gonna translate, but that is a hard skill to get up to snuff at the NBA level. So maybe that takes him a little while as well. So I guess my answer is he doesn't really have to do anything to justify the selection, even though I was a little disappointed with how things ultimately went on draft night, that the Knicks passed up on some bigger names before him and ultimately went with Grimes. I think he just has to work hard and just keep his head down. And, you know, it's very cliche, but just sort of be like, you know, be like his teammates. And I'm sure that he will be, you know, in the sense of like, be like Quickly, be like Obi, be like Deuce, be like RJ, that just kind of keeps his head down, works, and doesn't say anything or, you know, let it slip out that he wants playing time or something like that. Just say, hey, I want to do what's right for the team. And, you know, whatever that is, I'll keep working hard in practice and eventually hopefully I'll get my due. And then maybe once he is ready, then, you know, he'll step in and really wow us. But I guess we'll see as far as that's all concerned as time goes on. But that's sort of my answer. I know it's sort of a cop out, but there's not really anything that he can do short of coming out and looking way, way better than we ever thought possible to, like, I guess, fully win me over. But he also, it's not exactly like he's in my doghouse or anything just by virtue of being selected by the Knicks. Like, Summer League showed me enough to be like, I see why they drafted him. Now we just need to see how it all comes together. So it, pretty much all he needs to do to me is just work hard.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you, because the way I framed it in when I initially asked the question was in the highest pressure way. The other way to frame it is he was the 25th pick in the draft. And typically guys who are the 25th pick in the draft wash out of the NBA. So if he doesn't wash out of the NBA, in some ways he is a success. I think my point stands that clearly the Knicks thought of him as something more than that. And if they do not, then they should not have opted out of both the 19th and the 20th picks in last year's draft. But the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. To me, to like justify the version of me that thinks that the Knicks think he's a potential elite role player, he would almost have to get good enough by next season that the Knicks would be compelled to trade Alec Burks. The more reasonable side of me is like, I guess is in agreement with you that it's fine if he sits the first 2 years. It's fine if he is more of a break in case of emergency guy, as long as he looks good when he gets in, contributes in the ways that he is supposed to, which is basically being Reggie Bullock light, and then eventually ascending to full Reggie Bullock status, and maybe even a little more with some plus passing ability. The 3 assists in Summer League, I don't think should be totally underrated. That was a pleasant surprise on my end. So if he can eventually be that, then good pick on the Knicks, and I'm excited to see him play. But with that, Alex, do you have anything else? If not, I think we can wrap this one up.
Yeah, I think it's time to wrap up this edition of Locked On Knicks. So we're getting close to the end of the player previews here. If you guys have been keeping score, we're down to our last few. We won't say who they are because, you know, maybe it'll be a pleasant surprise. But we have a few guests lined up to come on and talk about some of the bigger players left to talk about on the Knicks here. So keep your ears out for that. Of course, we'll have game recaps coming up as well. And all that good stuff. So keep your ears open and also your eyes for when we eventually make our debut on YouTube, which will be coming in the next week or so, hopefully a little before the start of the regular season. So we will see you all there. Till next time, though, peace out and talk to you all soon.